everybody. Welcome to episode number 45 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am your host with apparently an annoying voice.
No.
Oh, internet.
That's just the internet being a bunch of dicks as usual.
Yes, but I do want to give a shout out to, his name is Skeven on my IGN, who put together this totally awesome MP3 of
pretty cool.
Cuts of me talking with music.
That was awesome.
Froofies!
Yeah. Friggin' hilarious. It's on my IGN blog, and I've linked to it on our Facebook page. So if you haven't heard it yet, you should check it out. Anyhow, today I'm joined by Megan Sullivan.
Yo.
Dana Jungleboard.
Hi, all.
And Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Who is sleepy.
I am sleepy. I could go for a nap. That doesn't sound so bad.
All right, so we'll keep you awake by starting with you.
Uh-oh.
Is what we're playing.
Oh, what we're playing.
You're like, oh, I was like, what? What did I do?
Oh, what the hell am I playing? I've been playing Fantastic Pets for review. It is a Kinect game similar to Kinectimals. By THQ, and honestly, I'm actually having a lot of fun with it. It's sort of like a mix of iPet and Kinectimals style, like, because the main screen is sort of like iPet, where it's just like a green screen essentially over, like, the pet's like
you're
supposedly
in it.
running around
yeah,
your
you can see
room, although he's like running through furniture. It's a little bit weird and creepy, but and then there's also like activities and stuff that you do with it that's much more of like Kinectimals. So you can like throw a ball. Or you can, like, tell your dog to run by running yourself and, like, do weird things like that. But it has a lot more variety. Kinectimals is all cats, which I like cats, so it's fine. But Fantastic Pets has dogs, cats, lizards, and ponies. And then they have, like,
the way
they got the name was Fantastic
Pets.
Was because there are, like, more unrealistic animals that you can unlock as you play the game.
Example.
So
unicorns?
You can get like, there's like unicorns, there's a Pegasus, like a
dinosaur.
The dog I have right now is like, I can't remember the exact thing that they call it. It's like a laser hound or something.
Laser hound.
He looks like a dog out of Tron. Like if you would think of like what a dog in that universe would look like, that's sort of what he looks like.
Wait, you have Fantastic Pets, but you can't own a dinosaur?
I mean, a lizard is sort of a dinosaur. If you can get a dragon, there's a dragon in there.
Okay, well, if there's a dragon in there, then I'm okay.
I mean, I'm just going to go with old lizard dinosaur, sure. Same thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure we will get tons of everything. Just totally
dragons
random.
Dragons are not dinosaurs.
Totally,
how are you? Can you be so stupid?
Totally random digression, but that has been my, if you guys haven't noticed, it is Dinosaur Week on IGN, which is basically just a joke. Like, it was like something that we were throwing around and someone was like, hey.
I can't believe it actually happened.
It'd be hilarious to do Dinosaur Week. So, I mean, so it's supposed to be fun, but people are getting so bent out. Like, it's like we are not National Geographic. You're not going to actually learn anything useful about dinosaurs.
Right.
And we will probably have scientifically inaccurate information on there. And that's not the point of reading
about
dinosaurs.
And you're not an expert either just because you've seen Jurassic Park 80 times. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
But some of them are actually spitting out legit information. And you're like, oh, wow, I had no idea that a bunch of people who know about dinosaurs read this site. But apparently they do.
Yes.
anyways. So, yes, Fantastic Pets is pretty fun, actually. So if you have children or if that's, like, your guilty pleasure, those are the kind of games you like to play, I'd recommend it. What else have I been playing besides that? I played Fancy Pants last week. Thought it was good, but the ending was getting really freaking annoying because instead of just being, like, a fun platformer, it was like, oh, I'm going to be all about combat now.
What is the end. I am unfamiliar with Fancy Pants. What is it? Obviously, it's a platformer.
It reminded me of like
you just said that.
it's a platformer. It sort of reminded me of like Sonic a little bit. Like you run really fast and like run around loops and edges, and you're trying to.
Do your fancy pants give you the ability to run really fast?
No.
Oh, okay.
They
I was just curious. It's just
you can like customize your character, so you can as you play the game, you unlock new like pants or pants patterns. Because they're always the same shape, but they just look different. And then, like, different hats and things. Like, I had bunny ears on my guy. And then you can, like, customize whatever weapon you have. I always had a candy cane that I would whack people with.
Nice.
But, yeah, when it's trying to make you do anything other than jump on an enemy's head, it's really annoying. Because you're, like, trying to, like, whack them with your cane, and it's too stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. Yeah. But I'm excited because I get to play Portal 2 tonight.
Oh, you haven't played it yet?
I haven't played it yet. No, because that was cheap.
Oh, yeah. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks. So do you want to talk about the Gears beta at all?
Oh, sure. It's happening. If
have you been playing
you
it?
You should probably know that if you're in it. ordered Bulletstorm on the 360, or if you pre-ordered Gears of War 3, you should have access to the beta. So if you have done either of those things and are not in it, what are you doing? Go play. On the other hand, I actually have not been playing because multiplayer bores me, and unfortunately I've discovered that Gears is not the exception to that rule. Although there are new modes now, so I should go back and try those ones. When I was playing, it was just really Team Deathmatch was the only thing anybody was playing.
Yeah.
So it just gets really old for me. Like, oh, okay. Just shooting people.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I played it for about an hour.
I could see the other ones, like Capture the Leader or King of the Hill.
I haven't gone back in yet since that first time. But and I haven't played Gears of War ever. I haven't played a Gears of War game at all.
Yeah, I haven't either.
My beta was the first thing, and so... It's pretty. I'll say that about it.
Certainly pretty.
It was also amusing to see some of the violent ways in which people killed me.
It's really... I've played enough to unlock Anya's skin, the female. And it's just fun. I like the fact that she's not super... You know, she doesn't have, like, massive boobs. Like, she's covered up. She's wearing the exact same armor everybody else is wearing.
That's good.
And the other thing that I like is, like, they didn't hold back on the execution animations. Uh-huh. Like, there's one where the locust will come up and, like, rip your arms off and then beat you.
They
still do that with the female, which like, okay, cool. Like, you're not like, oh, no, you can't do that to girls. Mm-hmm. You know? So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite one, too.
Yeah. It was just so out. I was just like, what? Oh, my God. Yeah.
My husband was watching me, and I'm like, did he just beat me with my own arms?
yes, he did. There's a whole bunch of executions to unlock, though, that we have Peter working on. His job now is to level up as high as he can go so that we can get footage of all of the executions.
Nice.
So... Gotta whip him a little harder on that one.
Play more.
What a hard job.
I know, right?
Poor guy.
Poor kid.
How about you, Dana?
Last week I was at EA for a couple of days playing The Old Republic. So Nick and I went down and they had two new classes that they were letting us play. So we did that for like a day and a half of it. And then we also did multiplayer while we were down there, which I can't talk about that now. But single player stuff. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, I was down for the kind of noob perspective. Not noob perspective, but I'm not.
You've played a lot of WoW.
Yeah. I mean, I played a lot of WoW, but that's really the only MMO I've played. So, like, I'm more of a.
It's the only MMO to play.
Yeah. I mean, none of the other ones have interested in me. I'm also not, you know, a Star Wars nut, you know.
Right.
So, like, I'm just a. Okay, here's a game. Is this the sort of thing that you're going to find interesting if you're not a Star Wars fanatic?
Did you play KOTOR?
A little.
Okay.
A little. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, there were some things about it that were cool, but what's kind of funny is, you know, so the big thing is the voice acting and stuff. And there will be articles up later, you know, over the next week about this stuff. The voice acting thing was really kind of awesome at first because, like, I actually was paying attention to the story because I often don't. Like, when in WoW, when I get quests, I usually, like, close it. And then I'm having to open it up later because I'm like, what am I doing? Because I don't ever read it at the time.
I did that, too.
And so that was actually kind of cool because you're getting into the story. However, I found myself wishing by the end. So by the end, we'd gotten to, like, the first, like, main city where you're, like, selecting your specialization of your class and everything. And I... And not every quest is part of some big, massive quest chain. And I found that with those, I was just like, just let me pick up the quest already. Like,
so
I don't want to talk with someone.
Voice acting for everything.
I did not pick up a quest that did not have voice acting attached to it. And I was just like, I don't want to pick. Just let me go.
Yeah.
Tell
just
me
stop
to go
talking.
Kill my.
Yeah.
Let me go. Tell me to go kill my five Kima lizards or whatever it is.
Just to clarify, is it just the voice acting isn't up to par? The writing's not good, or it's just up to par? You're just like it's distracting.
It's good. Like I thought the voice acting was really well done, and So, yeah, it was, you know, I really liked my main character. I thought he was kind of, sarcastic, and he had good delivery and everything. I can't imagine, like, the amount of time, like, with all the, it boggles my mind thinking about all of the recording that they've done for this. But there are some quests that you just don't need to talk about. You know, it's like, I don't care. Like, I mean, like just tell just me, so, yeah, just give me generic. My, yeah, just give me my basic assignment.
I need to
kill
this amount of things. What do I need to do?
Or go find these things, you know, okay, I need to go defuse 5 bombs. That's fine. Like, don't make me, like, just let me.
Don't
click.
Make it into, like, a novel when it doesn't need to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, let me click accept and then just go do it rather than having to talk to someone about it. Like, I think it's really cool and awesome for the big long evolved, yeah, like the stuff, you know, because there was a primary story going through. I was playing an Imperial agent, and there was a primary story going through, and I was, you know, it was like we were on Hutta, and so there were two Hutt crime lords battling, and, you know, and I was kind of going between, but, like, I'm a secret spy agent, so I had this, my keeper, who I kept communicating with my hologram, was, like, giving me these instructions, and I had a stolen identity, and then, you know, and you have very BioWare-esque moments where you're having to choose what do you do, which is also, like, never anything that, I mean, WoW, you just,
yeah, you
just
do
the quest. Like, there's no,
you do the quest or you don't do the quest.
Yeah, there's
and
no,
you don't get the experience.
Exactly. And, but in this one, like, you know, the guy told me, like, I had made friends with one of the other characters who'd been helping me out, like, and he had just told me, oh, okay, you know, he's like, you're a great guy, I want to introduce you to my sons, and I'm thinking, oh, and then I go back to my room, and the keeper, like, comes up on the hologram, and he's like, all right, now you have to go kill that guy, and I was like, what?
Oh, no.
So I didn't. I mean, I could choose not to. Like, I told him, I'm like, run and get, just like flee and disappear. But yeah, and you know, and it's the same like in other one, you know, where you're becoming good or bad, like on the dark or the light side of the force. I mean, it's not attached to everything. They said they tried to attach it only to key moments on like in some, like, right. I think KOTOR was that way, where it was like every single response that you had like influenced it, and so now it's only tied to key decisions.
Same way with Mass Effect too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, Star Wars does nothing for me. So
was the story interesting at all? I mean, like, would that be something that keeps you there? Because for WoW, for me, I got bored because like I didn't know what the hell the point was, right? Like, I was just sort of going through, like, killing stuff and whatever. It was just sort of fun, and like, the world is colorful, whatever, pretty. Yay.
I don't
And then I hit level 60, whatever, and I was like, I'm so, like, I just can't do this anymore.
Right. And that's, I mean, I go on phases with WoW, too. Like, I won't play for months, and then I'll go back in and play a lot for a month, and then I'll drop back out, and I never stop paying, and which makes my husband really mad.
Do you see that as a draw?
I mean, it was definitely more involved. What I like about WoW, because I don't give a crap about Warcraft lore either. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, these factions. I don't know anything about any of the history. Like, none of that. Like, whenever they're, you know, like, hardcore Warcraft players are like, oh, my God, I can't. And I'm like, okay,
like,
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What I do like about WoW and that I didn't see here was that, like, there's a mix of, like, in WoW, there are really funny quest chains, you know, and really kind of goofy, silly ones and ones that make fun of things. And then there are also really serious ones. Like, I've had ones where I get to the end of them, and, you know, they're these big, long, epic chains that you get to the end, and you're like, oh, my God. And, you know, it's like, whoa. And I like that there's that balance. And in this one, it's all, I mean, it's BioWare. They don't do funny, really.
Right. Well, they do. They do. And Mass Effect had a lot of funny moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I like, there isn't, yeah, there isn't much funny, and I don't know how much of that's BioWare, how much of that. I feel like Star Wars, too, that's kind of my big issue with Star Wars after the first the first film trilogy, like, had a lot of funny stuff in it, and then it started taking itself so seriously.
Thanks, George Lucas.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I mean, there's no fun in it, and like, I don't remember, there weren't really any.
You didn't also, I mean, how many hours did you play?
I played probably 10 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
so maybe somewhere in there.
It's good writing. Like, and the way that they talk to, like, the writing is really great, and it's, you know, like, there can be sarcastic retorts, which are kind of funny, but like, there's not
goofy stuff
happening. I haven't run into it.
Have you been mercifully spared Jar Jar Binks at least?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good. Because the only way I would play a game with Jar Jar Binks is if I get to kill him over and over and over again.
Yeah. No.
Well, lore wise, isn't this set like before the first the prequels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would think so.
Yeah. So
that, the Republic was falling.
Right.
When the prequel started. So
sure.
So yeah. So that was good. Last week. I have also been slowly making. I've been slowly making my way through Portal 2. Because I am determined. So I'm a very impatient / lazy gamer, and when I get stuck, I have very little patience for being stuck, and I will usually just I'll be like, screw it, and I'll go look it up. And I'm determined not to do that with Portal 2, but that does mean when I do get stuck, I have to just turn it off and walk away, because otherwise I sit there and beat my head against the wall. So
the worst part is it's always something simple.
It is.
And you're just so mad. You're like, oh, if I looked up and to the left.
Yeah. So yeah, and that is the amazing thing to me about Portal 2 is that, like, because there have been three times when I have been so far, and I'm in chapter 6. I think I'm getting to the end of chapter 6. Yeah. And there have been three times so far where I've had to really fight. Last time was the first time. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. But every single time it's been like, oh, right. You know, it's like, you want to just like smack yourself. Like, why didn't I see that earlier? Which is actually really impressive that they can make these puzzles that are so logical.
They're challenging, but they're not unfair.
Yeah, they're not. And it totally makes sense when you do it. You're like, oh, duh. Like, you feel like you're the idiot for not having thought of it sooner. You're not ever mad at them, which is, I mean, because Portal's basically an adventure game. And that's a really tough thing to do in an adventure game. Yeah. Think about all the adventure games you've played over the years. And the ones where you're like,
you're like, this, how the hell would you ever think of that? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, the thing that I found myself doing was just expecting the puzzles to be harder than they actually were. So I'm like trying to pull off all these crazy jump, then shoot the portal, then go down again and get going really fast.
And then there's like a lever or something.
Yeah, there's something really simple
you're
to
just like,
do.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I've obviously got to shoot a hole, fall through it, and jump, and then jump, and then jump, and then jump. And that's not what you had to do. So
yeah.
I did that quite
overthinking
a bit.
Overthinking it.
Yeah.
How, so are you done? Did you finish?
I am done. Yeah. Yes. It is awesome, amazing. I rated it a 10 on my IGN. It is right up there with BioShock and stuff in my mind. It's better than the first Portal, which I didn't think was going to be possible.
I know. I love the new character, like both
the Stephen Merchant guy.
Yeah, the Stephen Merchant, which is Wheatley.
I just like I've only seen
which
videos.
Which is hilarious. But... And then also so then you get voiceover from these recordings. Like, as you get a little further on in the game, you're seeing, like, from the founder
Stop spoiling.
Okay.
I haven't played yet. Yeah.
Well, this isn't really. But they're
really spoilers.
It's voiceover from J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
Who is awesome.
Who does an amazing job.
I always know him as Emil Skoda from Law & Order. For anyone who has watched Law & Order for a really long time.
He is the newspaper guy from Spider-Man.
Yes, J.J. Jameson.
Okay. Yeah.
And he also was the head of the white supremacists in Oz, if you watched
those. Oh, good.
Which I did not watch Oz, but I'm married to someone who loved Oz, and so he's always the Oz
As far as
guy.
I know, his Spider-Man character is closest to what he's doing in Portal.
And he was the dad in Juno.
Correct.
He was?
Mm-hmm. He was, yes. But finished it over the weekend, and I absolutely loved it.
Have you done co-op yet?
Yes, I did. My husband and I did some co-op together. It's cool. It's, you know, you are really having to work together. And, you know, we haven't had any fights yet. I think the most harsh thing that I said was, like, we were in the middle of a puzzle, and we were both thinking about it, and then I figured out what we had to do, and he was still over.
So are you playing on PC, and is he doing on 360?
No, oh. We're... split screen.
Oh, okay.
On PS3.
Got it.
And he's still looking around, like talking, like, well, maybe. I'm like, no. I know what we have to do. And then he kind of not paying attention to me and being like, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, just come over here and stand on this button. I know what we have to do.
Just get your butt over here. Yeah. Do what I say.
By the way, we have an awesome thing on IGN about primary language, but it really is called How Not to Be a Douche in Portal 2 with your player. And it's
I did accidentally smash my husband a few times. Oh, but GLaDOS says some really funny things when that happens, which is
kind of worth
awesome.
It.
Yeah.
I have to find someone to play with online because Brian will not play co-op with me because he says I'm too mean.
I'll play with you
I'm playing on PC. I think it's actually you can do PC 360 co-op. I think it's cross-platform. Someone
are
was telling me this.
Are you thinking the PS3 then?
It's
PS3. Or PS3. Is it PS3
Steam.
PC?
It's PS3 has Steam.
Oh, never mind. Okay, I'm
making
it up.
I mean, right now.
Yeah.
Except you can only do local, right? Because PS3
you can't get onto Steam? Are you sure?
You can't. I don't think you can get onto Steam because the PS3 network is down.
Well, but you still haven't Well, I don't know.
You can't use Netflix, so I don't know why you'd be able to use Steam.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
So, no, before it even came out, I was like, okay, I'm like, this is an important thing for me to do professionally, is to play this game.
Will you play with me?
And he was like, no. And I was like, why not? We could just play one.
Just get a 360 copy, and then I'll play with you. And if you're mean to me, then I'll stop.
He's like, no, you are too mean. I don't think that I am mean. I just think that I know what we're supposed to do and give directions.
You're smarter than everybody else.
And then he just meanders around like.
So it's like the same situation.
Yeah.
Like, get over
here. Well, Isaac, he solves puzzles a little better than that. It was just that one instance. Because he hadn't played it at all. He was just waiting for me to finish the single player for us to start co-op because I didn't want any spoilers.
Are there spoilers in there?
Not really. There's a few things that GLaDOS says that kind of reference back to things that she said.
So it's better to do that after, you think?
Yeah. Of course, we haven't finished the co-op, so I don't know what the end of it is like. Okay. But, you know. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't played Portal in, like, you know, years. So it took a little while to get back into the swing of it. So that was the only reason about that. But, yeah, it's awesome. I cannot recommend it enough. Everybody should play it.
It is amazing. And I would actually say that this is we get a lot of questions from people saying, oh, like, my significant other isn't interested in playing games. What games? I really think that Portal and Portal 2 as well are good games for that. Mm-hmm. Just because, for the most part, like, you have the freedom to fail without getting punished for it.
Yeah.
Like, you can, and it's really funny, and it's, I would say they're great games for that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, despite all the crazy elements that they put in Portal 2, the difficulty still ramps very, you know, on a good level, so you don't feel like you've got all these things to deal with.
Right.
Yeah. So it's actually longer than I thought it was, and I think maybe it's just because the first one was so short that I kept being like, okay, I think I'm at the end, and oh no, there's a whole lot.
You get to chapter 5, you're like, what the?
I looked at a guide only to see how many chapters there were. I didn't click anything open just because I was like, I have no idea. So yeah, there are nine chapters.
Yes.
I'm at the end of
The ninth chapter has a brilliantly funny, stupid title. It just cracked me up.
Yeah. So what else? I obviously mostly play that. I played some of the Gears of War beta, like I said before. And I'm gonna go back into that this weekend probably and play some more. We haven't talked in a while, but I finished Dragon Age 2.
Yay! What did you think?
I liked it. I didn't think it was as good as Origins, but I still liked it.
Were you as disappointed as I that you could not recruit the Aeroshock? Because I was really disappointed by that. Spoilers. Whoops.
Spoilers. I killed him.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, but I'm just saying in general, like, because you don't have a choice with that, but. I was just really disappointed you couldn't just get this one group to go with you.
I mean, you could always, again, spoilers, we're talking about this. if you give them Isabella, they leave and they like you still.
Oh, do they? Oh, see, I didn't recruit Isabella.
Ah.
I couldn't find her. She was apparently at an inn. Yeah, it's like you can't miss her, and I totally missed her.
But you're like me. Yeah, somebody. I'm always in the bar.
I would have given them her, but she took off.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
She takes off for everybody, but she'll come back if you have a good enough relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can...
she was annoying.
And then you can ship her off with them and totally screw her over.
Well, that would have been better, but, you know, whatever. It's definitely a good game. I'm curious to see how the story is going to, you know, like, diverge from what happened in Origins and what happened in Dragon Age 2.
What have you been playing, Megan?
Space! Sorry, what? I had to give a shout out to Portal 2. So, yes, obviously, I just kind of finished that up last night. And I have to say that I really don't like first-person games, but Valve is just amazing because their first-person games are so much fun. And I really loved Portal. And I thought the voice acting and the writing were brilliant. And like we've been discussing, the puzzles are one of those things where I just got lazy and I did look stuff up. But At one point, the internet went down in my house, so I couldn't do that. And I was so proud of myself because I would figure out stuff much faster than I thought. Because by 6 or 7, you know, you've got some stuff where it's challenging, but not like impossible.
That's another thing about the Portal games is they make you feel so smart.
Yeah, they do. You figure it out. You're like, oh my God, I'm a genius. But there were ones you overthink.
Except then why did this take me out?
Well, there was something where you're just like, there was this one room, it drove me nuts. So all I had to do was look up and to the left. Mm-hmm. And there was obviously a place to put a portal, and I'm overthinking and doing it, and I finally like, damn it.
That's all of mine.
I played that, loved it, also highly recommend it. I've been playing Patapon 3, which I really liked. It's really more RPG than music game than anything else, because you have so many things that you can do. Like, you can upgrade armor, weapons, change classes. There's like all these different strategies. It's surprisingly in-depth, and it is a ton of fun. So,
did you play the other Patapons?
I played the first one. For whatever reason, I never got around to playing the second one. But I played the first one and really liked it. But this one is a lot deeper and a lot more fun to play, I think. So I recommend that. And then if you're distressed about the PSN being down, GameStop right now has a buy two, get two free PlayStation 2 game sale going on. So I found that out by accident like Friday or Saturday, and I walked in and I saw this. And so I got a Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, Drakengard is the predecessor to a game I really, really recommend called Nier for the PlayStation 3, and then I got Drakengard 2, and then I got some random like Harvest Moon game. But if you guys are looking for games to play while you're waiting for PlayStation Network to come back on, I highly recommend going by GameStop and looking for all the PS2 games you may have missed that are really, really fun.
Which Harvest Moon one did you get? Is it the 3D one, or is it like
a... No, it's a... Well,
sprite-y,
it might be. It's
sprite-y-looking one.
Save the Homeland is the one I think I got.
Oh, yeah, that's the 3D one. The Spritey one is better.
I got that one for free. I literally could, out of... I was going to get Dark Alliance 2, Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2.
Oh, I loved that.
But it was $40, and it was not one of the ones on sale. Because it's rare.
But $40
for a
PS2 game? Yeah, $40
for a PlayStation 2 game.
I might actually have that one at home. I'll look at
it. Go sell it.
I know.
You need to put that on eBay, but first let me please borrow it, because I was going to get the two Drakengard games and then Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, which somebody highly recommended to me, and I never played it. And unfortunately, these aren't the BioWare ones, but I heard they're still good. So I...
No, they're really good. Like, I had a lot of fun. I mean, they're your hack and slash sort of RPG questing things. I think it was... If I'm remembering correctly, Snowblind is the studio that developed them. And then they made a game for Sony Online right after that, which was basically the same thing. And they're the ones who are working on the Lord of the Rings game for Warner right now, which I'm actually looking forward to because I think it's that same type of thing. And it's been a long time since I've played a game like that.
Yeah, when you said hack and slash, it just reminded me, duh, I played Darkspore like all last week. Right. Unfortunately, that doesn't say much about that game that I completely forgot about it already. Yeah.
The weird thing was, I don't remember being advertised that much. Like, it kind of fell under the radar. Like, I was really excited for a while, and then it just sort of fell off the radar.
They pushed it not right before they released it, which is weird.
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to come out in February, and then they delayed it.
March.
And then delayed it again.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do, like, anything.
And then there was just, like, pre-release. By the way, this is out.
Yeah. It's kind of odd, because doesn't Spore kind of have like a cult following almost, like with some people?
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with Spore.
It has nothing to do with Spore.
No, it's an action hack and slash Diablo-esque. RPG. Yeah. Diablo-esque thing. The only thing that comes over from Spore is that it uses some of the creature creator stuff to edit your characters. And, I mean, it wasn't horrible. It was all right, but, you know, just not great. And it has a pretty rabid fan base of people, I learned very quickly.
When you didn't give it a glowing review.
Yeah. You still gave it a good score, though.
Yeah, I gave it 7.
Like on the lower spectrum of good.
Yeah. And right now, I'm right in the center of, like, the other professional reviews, so stop bitching at me, people. Anyhow.
They won't.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, that's what we're playing. We spent a lot of time talking about what we're playing today.
We played a lot of awesome games. But mostly also been Portal 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously our topic of the week this week is the whole Sony PSN debacle, which is now in its 8th Is it 8th?
No.
9th? What's today?
Thursday.
I thought the drama started it might be on eighth. Wednesday.
Yeah, it may be 8th because that was when they were like, hey, it's probably going to be down for a day or two.
And then they were like,
yeah, because it was after the hack that they took it offline so they could try and figure out what happened.
They just released a thing saying they're going to try to get it at the very least partially up by next week. I'm hoping to get full next week so I can win my friggin' bet about when it goes back up.
Yeah. But, so in case you've been living under a rock for the past week.
Or if you don't own a PS3 and don't go on the internet that much, I guess.
Yeah. The PlayStation Network has been down because it was hacked. Sony is pretty sure
It was hacked and then Sony took it down because
right, yes.
It was hacked.
So personal information has been accessed. If you have a PSN account, that includes your name, your address, email address, your birthday,
password,
credit card info may have been accessed as well, but they're not completely sure about that. They said
if they are sure, they're still hedging their bets.
Well, they said all the credit card info was encrypted. So even if somebody got that file, they'd have to go through a few more steps to figure out the numbers.
I'm pretty sure they are able to encrypt files.
And we got a couple questions that came in saying, oh, is this just the US? And no, this is globally. So even if you live in another country, you have to worry about this.
Yeah, so I know we have a lot of UK listeners and listeners in Europe. So definitely keep an eye on your credit card number and look out for like false.
Yeah, so should we say, so the recommendations, I mean, there have been a lot of articles on IGN about this. But basically, like, I don't know what the equivalents are in the UK, but like keep an eye on your credit card statements and make sure there's nothing, look really closely. And then you can also, if you're in the US, get a free credit report every year from each of the three main credit agencies. So you can do that and put an alert on your account. Although do keep in mind that can screw you over. It can make it harder for you to get credit. So like if you're in the process of like buying a house or something like that, that's not good. But basically any credit card company, if you dispute a charge within 60 days, then they have to, then they will take it back. So
and if you're like a lazy person who doesn't want to keep an eye on things, then just have your credit card replaced with a new number.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to do that because I have that number at like,
I know I have it. Like,
auto pay on like everything. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. I watch my statements every month anyhow.
Especially if you do stuff online.
Yeah. I mean, this is just a reminder,
having your credit card info online, you got to watch your stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, just PlayStation Network. Anybody could hack anything. So, you just have to be careful.
Yeah. And also, Sony said if you get any emails like asking for your personal information, they will never do that. So, be careful with that too. Don't be silly. Yeah.
So I know that the Jim has been doing some research and he didn't know for sure because he's found the info, but he isn't sure if it's like
legit,
how accurate it is. But like if some of the stuff that he's found is correct, like this is the second largest security breach ever as far as personal info.
Isn't
being
there like
hacked?
Seventy-seven million people are signed up on PSN.
Oh yeah,
that's a lot
free.
Of people. Yep, it is.
And
free.
People make multiple accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So it might not be that many people.
It might not be that many people, but there are that many accounts.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my only thing, this sucks for Sony. I think anyone, like any company, is vulnerable. I mean, hackers are smart. Like, you're never going to do, anyone could be hacked and get away with it. My only complaint about Sony is that they were the ones who were stupid enough to say that we have an unhackable system. It's like the unsinkable Titanic. Did people not learn from that? It's like anyone could. I mean, not anyone could hack in, but there's going
to
be someone out there who's smart enough to hack into anything. So, like, doing that is like waving a red flag in front of a bull, especially with all of the hoopla going on over the lawsuits.
I really believe that this is totally a reaction to that.
Yeah.
You know, Anonymous, the hacker group, says that they haven't done it, but, who knows?
Rogue members.
Or it's, somebody who's what's-his-face's friend, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Geo-hide. Yeah, the problem is the hacker community, like they're pretty close knit, So if you screw with one, you kind of screw with all of them. Mm-hmm. So,
but did he have? Did they have to screw with all of us? Really?
Yeah, I know.
Do with this, leave us out.
Yeah,
seriously.
But yeah, with the point that Dana brought up comes to one of the questions that we got asked, which is, does this incident demonstrate how much more reliable Xbox Live is?
No,
the same thing could happen to Microsoft very easily if they pissed off the hacker.
In fact, it didn't a year or two ago, Bill Gates had an account hacked just because someone wanted to prove that they could do it. Yeah. So, I mean, you're not safe if you think that you're safe because
Xbox, you know, these are amazingly complex systems, and the hackers, the hardcore ones, it's like all that they do, like all the time. So,
it's
the hackers,
a big game. It's their version of a video game.
Yeah, it's a game. It totally is.
It's a very game.
They're always at least a few steps ahead of the latest greatest security measures, so you know, it can happen to anybody.
A lot of people are also saying like, well, that's why we pay $60 a year, and like, sure, part of that does go towards security and stuff, but that also does not mean that
it won't happen,
that it won't ever happen.
If you have any kind of account online, it's just vulnerable.
That's just the bottom line. Realities of the internet.
That's what someone else asked, like, okay, yeah, I just talked about this. Is this karma back at Sony for being mean to hackers? Probably. I mean, not that they shouldn't be, like, you know, I mean, they're a big corporation. They kind of, I mean, how do you not be mean to hackers when you're in that situation? Like, you don't want people hacking your stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't have to be. I feel like they sort of took it a step too far. Like Dana was saying, they were totally like taunting them at some point.
Yeah, the taunting, like, I agree with. The lawsuit stuff.
The lawsuit's fine, whatever. Yeah. But if you're going to go out and say stuff that you know is going to piss off these groups, you just have to be able to deal
and
with the consequences.
And it's challenging. For people who live to like go places where they're not supposed to go, that's like asking them to come, being like, oh, there's no way you could break into our system. It's like, let's try.
I'm sorry, I gotta play devil's advocate. I just don't have any sympathy for them at all.
I'm not saying I have sympathy for Sony or for the hackers. I don't have any sympathy for the hackers. I'm just saying that was really stupid of Sony to say, because that is asking to have them come in and
asking for trouble,
get you.
Yeah, and I want to go back on that. There is some hacking that happens that's actually done, you know, like for good reasons. So, you know, there are people at MIT or whatever who hack into security things in order to learn about
systems and weaknesses so
that they can make things better. And that's great. That should not stop. Mm-hmm. It's the people that are hacking to steal and to pirate. And, you know, those are the ones
to be a jerk.
Yeah. So...
Yep.
Anyhow, we got a question here. It kind of goes back to the Xbox Live thing. Do we think Sony should adopt paid subscription plan? It doesn't matter, even if they have more money.
Might need to now, because they're going to run out of a lot of money. They're losing lots of money.
Yeah. It'll be interesting how they compensate. PlayStation Plus.
They can't do it now, though. Like, after having it
Hilarious, though. But, by the way, PSN is back up, and you get to pay us $50 a year if you want to use it.
Yeah.
Or not if you want to use it. There's another.
But still, that would.
There are now three plans. PlayStation Plus, which is its own separate thing, and then some other sort of
horrible. I mean, that would be the death of the PS3 right there if they did something.
I don't know about that, but I do think it would be kind of sad. But I do want to know how they're going to compensate PlayStation Plus users, because they do pay, and I feel bad for developers who have developed their games for PSN specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to one of the devs whose game was supposed to be released last week. I did a story on IGN. Sony has told them that they're going to give them additional marketing support when everything is back up. However, it's not like they're going to push back everybody's schedule. So when it does come back up, you're going to have
a dump of games released.
And it's going to be a crowded playing field. So even if Sony will be continuing to like promote them, you know, for another few weeks or whatever, you're still going to have all these other ones to compete with that you wouldn't have had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing too, which my husband brought up to me when we were talking about this, is that those release dates are picked very specifically for specific reasons. Like, if you want to get out in front of your competitor, or, you know, you really want you know, for whatever reason, it needs to hit this week. And so
that's, or there's totally a corresponding holiday sort of thing where you're going in, or
So
like Costume Quest and Halloween. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really unfortunate for those guys. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. It's kind of sucks, but
yeah,
what can you do? I mean, at least Sony is, you know, trying to do what they can to, to help them
out. I am not mad. Like, a lot of people were really angry. I'm not mad, as we were all discussing, at Sony for this happening.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm just a little I know that they didn't know or could confirm about the credit card and personal info, but it would have been nice to get something, not just a, you know, we're down for a couple of days and we'll continue to update on why. But you know, if you knew about this possibility, which is yet to be proven.
No, Jim got a response today. I was just looking through our stories to make sure I had the most up-to-date information. That they, after they knew there was an intrusion, they brought in, security firm or whatever to look into it. And they actually didn't know the extent of it until.
Sure. But they didn't. I still find it hard to believe that it took them that long to figure out that somebody got into the personal information.
Or that might have. Yeah, I mean, because a lot of it was might have.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I just got my email this morning.
Today, too.
Yeah, I got mine yesterday. That's what my point was, is that like I understand really that they were doing as fast as they could, but they didn't tell
alerting everybody.
And some people are already reporting they have funny stuff in their credit card bills that may or not be related to PSN. Mm-hmm. So everyone is, you know, I don't want to ratchet up the panic or anything, but already people are a little suspicious and kind of like,
like that. I had read about this as a possibility a week ago on IGN, and then it was just a week later that I got my official communication from Sony telling me that there might have been
by the way, I mean,
people
that's,
might have this information.
And I mean,
you.
Obviously, that to me is what's wrong with this picture.
Mm.
Yeah, it's whatever, they got hacked, it happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But you really need to be upfront and honest with people and tell them. Yeah. You know, hey, your information could be, you know, spread around at this point. I mean, even if it was a maybe, I would have liked to know that as soon as, you know, a lot sooner.
Yeah,
sure. I'm not sure why they didn't. I mean, you should be on the lookout when those things happen anyway. But it was so up in the air and it was a little nerve wracking. And it was like, well, do I have to replace my credit cards? Do I have to replace it? Because it is a kind of a hassle to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, as soon as possible, let us know. And it's a week. I'm just not sure what happened with the PR thing. And you were saying, Christine, that it's sometimes hard to get stuff moving with PR. Like, you have to have a lot of permission.
Like, you have to like run through your messaging and make sure everything's, you know,
and have
approved
X number of executives sign off on it.
So it takes a long time to get stuff signed off.
Especially
at
a big company.
A big company, especially, you know, under the gun, like people are, it's crazy.
With people in different countries at different times
Different
time
zones.
Yeah.
That's true. It just seems
to, I don't know, some breakdown somewhere.
Yeah. It's more like a PR disaster more than anything else at this point.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the people that work there in the PR department.
Yeah.
It would not be a fun last week and a half to Sony PR.
Not so much.
Yeah.
We got one more question that I wanted to address because it was kind of different from... So this person has a PSN account and has used credit cards on there, but always deletes them after using them. So he says he hasn't had a credit card on the account for 2 years, but he's worried Sony might still have kept records of the cards. Now, I haven't... this kind of goes to South Park last night. I have never read the actual terms and conditions of the PSN.
Like, they're so long.
I think if you delete the card from your account, they have to delete it from your
system. Here's the thing. I've heard from people, like Hill used to work, I don't know if I should say where he worked, or whatever, at a company that is similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was saying that if you've ever purchased anything with a credit card, there is record of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't trust any company to delete that
to delete
stuff. Like,
yeah.
Like, even if it's not there on the forward-facing part of your account, like, it's very possible that it's still, like, those records just never, ever go away.
Granted. Because I think somebody asked this, what if it's, like, an expired card? Would it matter anyway, since it's an expired card and you just have to get a replacement card anyway?
So.
But if it's the same...
Unless they happen to guess your new expiration
date. Yeah, I was just going to say, unless they're really smart and they're just like, well, it expired on this date, so if I do my calculations...
The other thing to remember, too, is most places now, online and even in retail stores, are asking for the security code, which is something that PSN does not have.
They don't have that, which is one positive thing.
Yeah, so... So it sucks. As Megan mentioned earlier, we have a big betting pool as to when PSN will be back up. There's an article
and fully
about
functional.
That. And fully functional.
Yeah, it can't be partially functional. It has to be exactly the way it was before.
So you can go
only
on.
Only better. And only better, yes.
Kind of cast your vote onto which one of us you think is the closest.
Okay. I did not participate.
It is very, I will just point out that I think it is rather humorous that the head of the PS3 channel has the latest picked date out of any of the other 14. I think there are 14 of us total. Yeah, and yeah. He is June 15, which is the latest date.
That's after E3.
That's after E3. I know. It's like, good Lord.
That's going to be so terrible be for them terrible if they're not back happened. Up at E3.
That would be awful.
I am dying, though, to see... like how they
did. But they already said they'd be addressed partially, so I'm sure that.
But I'm dying to see how they're going to address it. If they do address it in the press conference,
they will not.
I know.
There's no way.
It's just. Yeah. But it's just going to be so, like listening
well,
to
that. I don't know. I think if they're planning to do some type of compensation or something, they might
true.
Talk about that.
They might that. Talk about that.
There. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe they'll
if
have
talk
Kevin, Kevin Butler come out and crack jokes about it. Even though it's not really funny.
I think he might get pelted with tomatoes or something if they chose that approach.
Everybody would just hate him. It's ruin their one good marketing tool.
Pretty much.
So if you're a one console only person who has a PS3 and likes to play online, I'd just like to say, I'm sorry. Even though it's not my fault. I just feel bad for you.
Somebody needs to feel bad.
Yeah. So... so, yeah, I mean, we'll keep you posted on this. Obviously, IGN, go to IGN.com. Greg did a nice little story where he put all the stories that we've done in one place. Yeah. So you can see all the details on what's going on. And obviously, we'll be following this. We have a nice little story that is simply titled, Is PSN Working?
There's another story that we have titled, Is Xbox Live Working?
That was just a joke, people.
I know. I thought it was funny.
I did
it.
Yeah. A lot of people thought it was funny. A lot of people got really mad. And it's just like, I'm sorry that you couldn't
have a sense of humor.
Yeah,
about
that
it.
You couldn't like laugh about it. My information is on the PSN. I have both consoles.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I can laugh about it, I'm hoping you can laugh about it too.
Exactly.
I do have a credit card on there as well. So, like, you know,
yep.
We're all in this boat together, people. Yeah. I'm just trying to make it a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah. Okay, so that's that. Now we're going to move on to regular questions. As always, if you have questions, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. Our first question comes to us from Dimitri. Dimitri wrote us a really long note about the fact that his mom is totally into Heroes of Might and Magic and actually very good at it. I guess she went to like a tournament and kicked everybody's ass.
Wow.
And it's like the only game that she plays. He says she brought a calculator and she's like figuring out like who's gonna do more damage.
Wow, that is hardcore.
Yeah.
Is this say
like which hero did he say which one it is? Is it like three? Okay.
Yeah.
So old school.
Old school. And I love those games, by the way. He wants
and
to know,
Brenda Brathwaite worked on those, right?
Did she?
I think she... Am I making that up? I don't...
I don't know.
I think you might be making that up. Okay. That was... it was New World Computing who devved those and 3DO published them.
Okay. So... Wizardry. That's what she
wrote.
She
wrote
it.
Yeah, she
wrote okay, never
Wizardry.
Mind. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I always got free
Magic,
copies.
Wizardry. Good thing.
We got copies of free... of Heroes of Might and Magic for free because Isaac worked at 3DO at the time, which was pretty cool. So the question is, can we think of any more recent games that are similar to Heroes?
Is this similar to
Might and Magic?
The game that just came out on XBLA, the Might and Magic? Nope.
No.
Damn.
This
not the Clash,
I like
that
the Clash
one.
Of Heroes.
Yeah, Might I played. I actually played that was one of the games
that's
that
a,
I played.
That's a puzzle game. Heroes of Might and Magic is you've got a town, you have a hero and a town that you build buildings in, and different buildings have different creatures, and you build up an army, and you go out around the town and you collect resources that you need to build up your town, and then you go fight other people, and then the battle is turn-based with your creatures fighting the other people's creatures and eventually your hero thing. And I have racked my brain since I read this question, and I cannot think of anything that is...
Well, the battle system, though, is similar
exactly
to Clash of Heroes, Might and Magic, or whatever.
Well, I mean, turn-based, but
it's
you're not
turn-based, and you're
yeah,
I mean,
but that's
a different
puzzle.
Functionality.
That's
yeah.
It's like
it's not
match three puzzling,
but
combat-y.
But it's not really. It's
well, I mean,
really strategy-based.
It's
like
really,
you have
yeah,
to
it is
use
really
your brain.
Deep.
Like it's
really
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, it is, but trust me, the battle system in this is, maybe I'm not describing it well enough, but it is okay. Nothing. It's nothing like that.
It's nothing like Clash Heroes.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you'll have the enemy heroes lined up on one side and your army lined up on the other side. And you can, at any turn, your griffins or whatever, mm-hmm. When it's their turn, you can have them attack anybody on
so
the other
So is it more
end.
Like a Magic oh, okay. the Gathering gotcha. Sort
I don't
of?
Know, I haven't played that
okay.
either.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no idea. That doesn't sound like anything I know.
Did you not play any Heroes games when you were at CGW?
By the time that I started at CGW, the series had already gone on its nosedive. It was
Four
on
was
the
terrible.
And then they just kept milking it. I remember my then boss Jeff Green did a monthly column in the magazine, and he had one column about like how they had just milked Heroes of Might and Magic to death, and he actually had a bunch of like. Here are his 10 things on the next Heroes games that he was thinking. And my favorite one, which I still remember, was Bob and Carol and Might and Magic. Bob and Carol nice. And Ted and Alice, the movie. Anyway, it made me laugh.
Yeah, I cannot. And I was even asking my husband, I cannot think of a game. And there's nothing exactly like it, that's for sure.
Yeah, we'll research and get back to you.
Yeah,
how about that?
Well, no, I've uh-huh. researched.
Oh,
I
have you?
I racked my brain because I played those games a lot. Yeah. So,
his mom might be out of luck.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing I can think of is, you know, having liked that type of game, she might like, other RPG-ish type things.
Would she like something like Neverwinter Nights, which is a little closer to Dungeons & Dragons in terms of, like, it's not
Maybe,
really turn-based,
yeah.
but it is...
Yeah, that's what...
It works on the Dungeons & Dragons principle really closely, so...
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking, too. And actually, if any of these Facebook games ever move in the direction that I want them to, that might be the place to find one that's similar. Mm-hmm. That said, I will say that there is a free-to-play Heroes of Might and Magic online. I forget what the web address is. I tried to play it for a little bit, but like they make you have to pay really quickly. So
oh,
I was
dear.
Just like, forget. Yeah. So you might want to check that out. Yeah, you know, it's free to play where you can purchase things to speed things up and stuff like that. So
it drives me nuts when free to play. I mean, yes, I know they have to make money, but when that paywall drops down so quickly, because I'm like, you got to get me hooked and get me to care about the game to actually want to give you money.
Yeah.
And there was a Heroes of Might and Magic 5 a couple years ago. That wasn't too bad, but it kind of changed a lot of the gameplay elements. 3 is still the best one, in my opinion. Okay, anyhow, enough about Heroes of Might and Magic. Next question comes to us from Aubrey. Aubrey wants to know what game, besides WoW, do we think really spanned across all ages and both genders and popularity, like the first game to do that? I would say The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sims, yeah. Peggle?
Well, I would say, PopCap games and Plants vs. Zombies and Peggle and all of those.
Well, Sims was the first.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh,
it's first.
Definitely
sorry,
the Sims.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, are we talking about who's first? Sorry, what?
The first.
come back to us, Christine.
Sorry, I just thought she meant what other kinds of games do that.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of them.
Like, just
now.
In general, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say Sims.
Yeah.
I don't know, was that more dude?
The Sims is the first one I ever remember hearing about the fact that there were more female players than there were men. But it was a pretty even split. It was like 52-48 or something like that. So, next question comes to us from Aaron. Aaron wants to know if any of us have ever played Shenmue.
No,
I haven't either.
Was that that Saturn game? The Shenmue or Shenmue 2 or something like that?
I haven't played it, but I do have a somewhat funny story. My cube mate at Game Now magazine, who now works for Sega. I think he still works
Ethan.
For Sega.
Yeah,
Ethan. Got so much shit for liking the Shenmue games. He was teased, like, constantly.
Aww. I think that was more because he was Ethan and less because it was the Shenmue games.
Yeah, well, I think he gave one of the Shenmue games an A+ or something in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And so he just got teased a lot about that.
Wow.
So.
Mm-hmm. It was just fun to tease Ethan, though, about anything, because he would always react so extremely. He'd be like,
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Ethan.
We love you.
I haven't seen him in a while. We do love you, Ethan. Okay, next question comes to us from Tom. Tom wants to know if we agree that some American developers, while taking steps forward in storytelling and gameplay, seem to constantly take steps back in game performance. It says this is obviously apparent in branching story RPG type games. So he's talking, he gives examples like how buggy Fallout was and how like unbuggy Final Fantasy 13 was.
And how boring it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's his point. That's his point. Yeah. Like, is that trade-off being made?
Well, I mean, I would argue that that's more of an issue with like the whole business model and everything. Right. Like that's an issue. That's having to shove games out the door
so quickly
without the time, like not getting as full a development cycle as you need. And that all has to do with money and business. And
that said, though, I will say that a linear game with, you know, a very defined story.
It's going to be a lot easier to bug test.
Yeah, it's easier to test. You're more likely to find more bugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these bigger world games and open world games are obviously, it's you know, when you go after someone like Bethesda or BioWare or whatever, it's like they're doing the best they can. I don't think the developers happily are like, haha, suckers, you know? Like,
yeah, and I mean, there are just, you know, I mean, I rag on Bethesda sometimes for how buggy their games are, but when you really think the number of options of things that you can
do—it's
like
how many hours.
Irritates me, though.
This person with this many stats, with this specific gun, with this specific armor—you know, it's just any combination of those things.
I think what bugs me most about Bethesda's games is just them crashing.
Oh yeah, well, you know, Dragon Age 2 crashed on me twice.
What did you play it on?
360.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It crashed on me all.
Mass Effect 2 crashed on me twice as well.
What?
Yeah. So
oh, wow. Maybe. It's I never console. Had that problem. I don't know. It's weird.
Fallout New Vegas only crashed on me once.
Shut up. I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
I didn't get far enough in Fallout 3 for it to crash again.
Although
it crashed on me so many times.
It crashed at the worst possible time, so much that I got really mad at it because I had been playing Blackjack and I just won a buttload of stuff.
Oh, no.
And I didn't have a chance to trade it in. Yeah. I was pretty mad. Anyhow, next question comes to us from, oh God, I'm going to butcher this name, Shaban. So she says she really likes the point and click adventure genre. I do too.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And, but she thinks that that even the new ones feel kind of dated and retro. So she wants to know, aside from shinier graphics, how we think these games could be brought up to date and generally improved.
Not to beat the same drum over and over, but I think Portal is a really good example of, like, I mean, just because you're, like, it's a little bit more active of an adventure. Yeah. Like, you're not just walking around and clicking on an object and waiting
and
for something.
You're actually
interacting with the world, but it is pretty much, it's point and click adventure game.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of ways.
I still think that a lot of the older ones hold up really well.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that gameplay mechanic.
No, me neither.
Like, I don't, you know, some people think it's kind of old and outdated, but I think it's just fine.
I know it's not a point and click adventure game, but I highly recommend if you like those kind of adventure games or text adventure games, that there's a game called 999 on the DS that is very much like, instead of point and click, you have the stylus, and it's a little dark, but it's really well done. And that is something, if you just want to try out something new, that you could.
Yeah, there's been quite a few. The Hotel Dusk is another one that comes to mind that's like that. They work really well on the DS.
Yeah, they do. So if you're like, I want something new and fresh and a new angle, these kind of games are a possibility.
Yeah, and where most of these are kind of arising now is in the casual space, which are ones that, you know, maybe being overlooked. But there's a really great series done by Big Fish called Drawn that is classic point and click adventure. It's got beautiful artwork in it and it's really good. I mean, you might find some of the puzzles a little easier than what you would in the old school ones, but, you know, at the same time, it's
good stuff.
They're good games. Yeah.
Are you guys excited about the King's Quest, the new one?
I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am and I'm not.
Well, like, all we've seen is the logo, so
right. The thing is, I know what other Telltale games look like, and that is what makes me nervous,
And you know,
because I feel like they to me, I don't know why they need to bother with the 3D models. I think point-and-click adventure games are just fine with sprites or, like, 2D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally fine with that. It looks better most of the time. And so when they're trying to, like, force that on it, I don't really like it as much. Mm. I don't think it is as effective.
Yeah. I think also, too, like, games that do lots of QuickTime events are kind of like an evolution of the...
I hate QuickTime events. I'm so over them.
The devil.
I'm like, I'm just done. I just don't. They're just.
These hurt your hands too. Yeah. Like it totally messes up your thumbs, and your fingers. It does. Mashing buttons like that, like really bad.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, you have to. That is a QuickTime event sometimes though. Like push this button really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know hit this one, then hit this one.
Yeah. I'm over them.
I like the execution of them in Heavy Rain. That was basically, I mean, I don't mind them. I don't like the mashing ones.
Yeah.
But the ones where it's, you know, X.
I just feel like usually it's such a disconnect with the game, you know, especially in action adventure. You know, when in God of War, because that was the first time they'd come back since, was it Shinobi? I don't remember. Someone had done it before, but that was, like, there was kind of a cool novelty thing. But, like, anymore, I'm like, when you're doing it to do stuff that you actually were already doing in the regular combat anyway. And I'm like, why am I doing a quick time? Why am I not just like
doing this
with a controller? I don't know. It's just, I'm tired. Cinematic. It's like, okay, here we go.
Cinematic, and they couldn't make you, they need to have you involved in some way. Yeah. So they're just going to make you push a button at
blah,
some random point.
Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
I'm over it.
It's true.
Well, I mean, that was Heavy Rain's almost entire gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
There you go. I still haven't brought myself to play it. I was sitting at home. Heavy Rain. Yeah.
No, how? What?
I know. It's the kid thing. I can't.
Like, no, I had to stop actually because of that. Mm-hmm. I was like, this game is grim. Also, the fact that I'm struggling to drink a carton of orange juice.
But the voice acting is bad, so it's okay. They're not real.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Concept was excellent.
No, Dad.
I actually thought the kid was fine. I just heard a couple other voice actors, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We are out of time. So, as always, if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow each of us individually on my IGN. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Space!